The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of Diverse and Engaged, a Wall Street alum, top WB CEO, and LinkedIn top voice. I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, Dee. I'm Mita Malik, a business leader, a DE&I champion, and most importantly, a mother. My superpower is storytelling.
You're actually being really modest, but we'll let you go with that. Okay.
I was waiting for that. That's every other episode.
You know, everybody, if you've been listening to the show, you know, Mita and I started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces from my perspective as a Black woman and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. At our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out. And then we provide you with tips that you need on how to thrive, not just how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations where you are? And so I'll say this. So Mita is a storyteller. So always on the show, she always kicks us off with great stories. But you should also follow, she contributes to Harvard Business Review, among many, and several other publications from, I think, Inc. Entrepreneur. You pretty much have contributed everywhere. And so you have such a powerful voice, Mita, but I noticed you did not share that with our audience. Okay, we'll leave it at that. You know what? Actually, that's an episode. That's an episode where we talk about, you know... Yes. Culturally sharing and not. So we'll, at the end of the show, we'll have to reset on where that episode is and how you can plug in. But for today's show, Mita, tell us, what are we talking about?
Well, you also forgot to tell the audience in your intro that you're my publicist, but that's for another episode. Friend.
No, you know what? This is what friends do. If you just tuned into the show, we're actually real friends. Which is how the show came about. Basically, I have sacrificed my friendship with Mita. So all of us spilling the tea, or she and I spilling the tea offline, is now online. So we save all of the juicy stories for you and we make them meaningful. And it's certainly appropriate. Mita as an executive, me as a CEO at Diverse and Engage, both of us thought leaders, both of us LinkedIn top voices. We have this amazing platform, a partnership with LinkedIn. And so we have just converted these stories into ways that you can benefit, whether you are a woman of color or whether you are an ally plugging in, an advocate, a champion. We want to make this meaningful for you. So Mita, where do we go from there?
I said, I think we're done with the episode for today. Just dropping the gems and dropping the mic. Okay, Dee, I'm going to say it out loud because we talked about it. We didn't talk about it. You teed it up. You wouldn't let me talk about it. We saved it for today. Oh, but this is what we're going to talk about. Stop saying you don't look ethnic. Oh, I hate to say it out loud. Stop saying you don't look ethnic. It's painful to say out loud. And this episode is for our allies. If you're a woman of color listening, I am sure your heart just sank or your stomach just dropped because either it's happened to you or you have been there when this has happened to someone else. And this episode is really for allies. So please lean in, pull up a chair, and listen up. And so Dee and I are going to chat about this. We've got some stories and some tea to spill, and then we'll leave some tips at the end for the allies. Dee, you and I briefly talked about this. You wouldn't share, but I believe it was an audience member who had reached out and we wanted to talk about it live.
Yeah. I think it was part of a shock and awe in her experience on the job. And there were a number of things that were concerning for her. But one in particular is, you know, you don't look, or you don't sound, or you don't look ethnic. And it was in a friendly space or a friendly conversation. Oh. So it was clearly a blind spot, you know, on the part of the colleague or the coworker. But it was, I mean, she was devastated. She shared with me and, you know, sent me a message, but just devastated that, you know, one, that there was the question of not being enough and looking enough, but also it was the devastation of not knowing how to respond. Like, what do you do when it is, just what do you do? You know, because it's easier to respond or react to more evil, blatant, you know, racism and such. Yes. But when you're at work and dealing with microaggressions and blind spots, and your job is at stake, or your reputation is at stake. It's you know, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's overwhelming, it's traumatic, it's triggering to know how to respond to that. So that's what it was.
Oof. Well, Dee, I've got a story that you haven't heard. I'm pretty sure you haven't heard.
Here we go. Let me get a drink.
You're like, oh God.
Here we go.
Dee's like, let me buckle up. Let me buckle up.
Everybody get
so
a drink.
I went to school in college in New York City, and I went to school in the neighborhood of the Upper West Side, which some of you may know. It's a pretty diverse neighborhood. It was during that time, and for most of my early in my career, I've been mistaken a lot for being Hispanic. And people will try to speak to me in Spanish. They'll get annoyed. This happened to me in school a lot. I would get comments like, oh, but you have Hispanic features. And what does that mean? Oh, like, gosh. Can we call that racist? Like, what does that mean when you start saying features, right?
Gosh.
But that had always plagued me. And I don't speak Spanish, and I wish I did, actually. But
I know, me too.
I was sort of just like, why do people get, they think because of how they see me or how I look, because in our brains, it's easier to process like, let me just put Mita in a box, right? Yep. I don't want to have to do the work to get to know her. She looks like X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. So the ethnic piece was really upsetting, that like, you don't look ethnic. Like, what the bleep does that mean? It's so upsetting. But in my 20s, D, one of my first jobs, there was a ERG. There was a few ERGs, and there was specifically a Hispanic ERG. And they needed to take a picture for something. And a white leader, a man, came up to me and said, can you come stand in this picture? Because we need more people who are Hispanic in the photo. And I said, but I'm not Hispanic. And he said, oh, that doesn't matter.
No.
Just come stand in the photo. This is my very first job. I was like 21, 22. And I was horrified because I didn't know what to do. But here's the thing. It's not like it was a photo for, you know, because we've talked about ERGs on the show. ERGs are not just a place. Yes, it is a place for the person who identifies with the ERG, but we also want allies to be involved in ERGs. This was not a photo with allies. Let me just be clear.
Oh my God.
And so I didn't know what to do. Do you know what I did? I went and hid in the bathroom. I didn't want to be in the photo. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, this is so... And the fact that he said, oh, it doesn't matter that you're not Hispanic.
Go stand
in the photo. And I was like, huh? And I couldn't process it because it was my first time like at a job. And I'm like, what? I don't understand what's going on. But I knew I felt really uncomfortable about it. That's all I knew, but I didn't have the language. And so I went, that's what I do. I went and hid in the ladies' room for a bit.
I think I've heard the story of hiding in the restroom before. No, I'm like, wait,
that's my go-to. I hide in the ladies' room. So that's not
that. This is so painful. It's so painful. So first, let me just say, friend, I'm just so sorry. We make light of our experiences meaningful, and we make light. We laugh to keep from crying a lot of times, but I'm just so sorry about like the experiences that we have and how just where we are. But I'm going to say this about people making assumptions right? Putting you in a box of Hispanic and others. I know everybody listening yes. can identify, because if you are, yeah, I think, but there's two things I think that's happening, and not to make excuses, but just to give context for the unfortunate state of America. One is we were just not educated. We are mm-hmm. educated people in these United States, but we are uneducated about matters that are more meaningful in terms of our identity and who we yes. are. So being uneducated as a country about race and identity is why somebody would feel so comfortable to say, oh, no, it doesn't matter, because there was no yeah. education. And back then, the education probably could have been or would have been not necessarily just race and identity, but it would also be respect. It would actually be respect for unique yes. differences. And so I think that's one. And then there's bias. There is the bias of every second we receive about 11 pieces of information, and our brain, right? Every second, 11 million pieces of information. So our brain is trying to automatically process and help us out, mm-hmm. right? And so so somebody's seeing you, our brain automatically does the work for us rather than us pausing in a lot of instances to interrupt our automatic thoughts and processes. So I say that just to give context, because also that's the work that we do at Diverse and Engage, right?
Yes.
You know, how is that even possible? And then how do we do better? So I just feel so, it's so unfortunate, particularly for the man or the person who says it doesn't matter, you know. And now let me say this. I gave two roads out or two sort of pieces of information. There is also a very real thing in that there are people in this country who are just plain out racist. I'm sorry mm-hmm. I said that, right? Let's just be real, right? I gave a very real response, and we're just, one, not educated. Two, there's sure. bias, there's brain processing. But what else do you know? There is racist. Now, could that have been that in the moment? I'm not here to judge, but I'm here to give what it could be. And then we really want to know, how do we respond to those things? So anyway, what were you going to say, friend?
No, I was going to say that to the allies listening, we have our thought in our head that only we hear. And then you can control that thought and then decide to take a different action. So you meet Mita and you're curious. You're like, huh, wonder what her story is. Wonder what her ethnic origin is. Wonder, wonder, wonder. We've talked about this on the podcast mm-hmm. before. On the where are you from? You speak English so well. All of that sort of line of interrogation, investigation, as you would say, not microaggressions. We call things by their right name, as D.C. Marshall reminds us at the Brown Table Talk, racism. So suspend that. Get to know me. Because when you get to know me, you know, you get to know Dee, she does identify as a Black woman. You don't yeah. need to know that based on how she looks.
Right.
Is she Black? Is she not? Is Mita Indian? Is she not? Is she Hispanic? Like, this is what... Yep. This is the education, as you're saying, that needs to happen. Because what is your yes. need to put me in a box before yeah. you've even gotten to know me? Why is there that need? Why yeah. is there that need?
Yeah.
Oof. But Dee, I'll share another story about my husband. This is a test if he listens to the podcast. But like, you know, his Starbucks name is Pete. His Starbucks name is Pete. We have another episode on Starbucks names. So we're just going to call him Pete. I know you know a Pete too.
Yes.
So Pete is of Indian origin, very light skinned and has light eyes. And so we should okay. also do D an episode on colorism, as I think our yes. viewers would really want to hear about that. So that's yeah. another story for another time. We're at a yeah. social event, an evening event, at a dinner party. And he has told me this happens to him, but I didn't believe, of course I believe him, but I had never seen it, right? Let me just say, I had never seen it. I believed him, but I had never seen it in action. At a dinner party, mingling, meeting people, this is some years back, and we meet this white woman. And I think she sort of starts the questioning, like, not the where are you from, but tell me your story, right? And so my husband, Pete, is like, oh, you know, my parents are from India. First generation, was born and raised here. No. You're not Indian. There's no way. No. You're not Indian. God. I could have swore you were German or Egyptian, which he gets a lot. And it's like, but what's fascinating is this woman continues on. So that's the interesting thing that I've seen play out. It's like someone will say, no, I'm not Hispanic. No, you are. Like, I don't know how I identify.
Right,
and so to watch this happen in a social setting, and it's different than work, right? But it's also, you're watching this unfold, and he handled it really gracefully and really elegantly. And he was just like, I'm Indian. Yeah, I'm Indian. Yeah, not German, not Egyptian. Yes, I'm Indian.
Proud Indian. I'm proud Indian. I'm Indian. Yep. Proud Indian, but I'm like, first generation. I gave it to you. Like, I mean.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Lady.
D, here's what is interesting is that in that situation, and this has happened at work, I've seen it happen as well, either to myself or others, it's the disbelief. Okay, so you misidentified me in terms of how I identify. You identified me as Hispanic. And I've said, actually, no, I'm not Hispanic. I identify as a woman of color. I'm of South Asian descent. No. No. Really? You're not Hispanic? What is the, no. Really? Like, what is that part about? Because just get to the, okay, you misidentified me. Got it. I'm going to be kind and just say, no, this is how I identify. Don't speak Spanish, not Hispanic. And then it's the disbelief, which is what I saw happen to my husband firsthand.
Right. And I think the response, the appropriate response is, you know what? My apologies. Thanks for educating me. Right. Ooh. It's thanks for educating me. My apologies.
Wait, that's wait, how. Write it down. Grab a pen. Yes. Grab a paper, that's allies. It. There it is. She just told you what to say. It's so simple.
That's it. And definitely apologize. And you know what? My apologies. Thanks for educating me. And that's it. Don't say anything else. And can I go on? This is going to be in the tips. Yeah. This is why, again, you see a lot of diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging training. This is the work that we do. We do cultural competence training. But also, even if it wasn't that, Mita, this is why I'm always encouraging leaders to, this should be part of your development plan, because you don't want to be the leader who offline at a social event was known to have insulted, let's say CEO, who happens to be first generation Indian, and he's CEO of, and even if he wasn't the CEO, let's just say he's a principal. Let's just say he serves on the public school board or whatever. It's not as if his role makes him or increases his value, but you don't want to be the person in a social setting where that happened and then word gets back, because then it questions, unfortunately, your leadership. Should you, and write this down and we'll come back to it, put in the parking lot. Can you be trusted to lead people if you are not? Let me sips tea. Go ahead. You take it from here, friend. Go ahead. What say you?
I'm literally sipping the tea. Oh,
take it.
You're right. Take it. But what did you say? You say this a lot at the Brown Table Talk podcast. If you don't know how to lead a multicultural diverse workforce in this century, in these United States of America, like, you shouldn't be leading a business.
Should you have a P&L? Should you be responsible for running the business? And if you, because people is how, right? I mean, we've said it on other, for folks who have
it's
been
true though
for some time, they know we've said this, you know.
But Dee, I need to ask you this. Why do you think, so first of all, pause and rewind, go back to what Dee said, pen, paper. I apologize. Thank you for educating me. My apologies. Thank you for educating me. However you want to take that sentiment and put it into your own words. But why do you think, and this has happened at work. So at the social party, someone listening might be like, oh, she was a little drunk. She might have been tipsy. She didn't mean it. I've seen that happen at work. Why do you think there's this disbelief? D, you're not black, really? No, really? Why? Why is there that after you've said politely, kindly, I identify as a black woman? And then there's this whole like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, I think there's a number of things. I think one, people don't want to be made wrong. They want, they don't want to be wrong. So their assumptions and their, from their background, their education and their insight, and, you know, they don't want to be wrong. And so they've already put you in a box. And so, yeah, I think that insisting is instinct. It's reaction and respond. No, it's reacting. And I think, disbelief, they've already stereotyped, they've, you know, the bias has, you know, their bias has allowed them to put you or put people in boxes of what they believe, and they want to have that supported. So I think you're Hispanic. I need that to be supported, or else what does that say about me? And this is awkward and uncomfortable. Again, I also think, you know, We have just only been in this country. We've seen a lot of black and white. Even when we talk about brown here, like some people are new to brown. They're used to, because this, the construct of these United States has been very black and white. And so that's why I think everything else in between is like, oh, you know, is questionable. So,
yeah. Okay, D, a serious question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Can I be your client again? Are you taking clients? Oh, no, I'm the client you can't get rid of. So,
friend, the boss that you are, stop. Just come on now.
Seriously, you just dropped some gems there. You did. You unpacked it. Because people always want to be right, particularly leaders, right? Leaders
be right.
Need to show that they're right. Listen,
sidebar. Remember you shared the story when you were at the table with the guy who insisted that he had met you. Remember that story? I mean, in fact, that was an Emmy award winning production. If we ever had an awards for like top five moments of brown table talk history of like lived experiences, we should do a show on that. That story of a leader who refused to be wrong. And you're going to be who I say that you will be. Like, that is a top five of a lived experience that we can all learn from. Because that, if we investigated and unpacked that, he was not going to be wrong. He was not going to be. He did not know how to come out of it. He didn't know how to come out of it. Because now he's humiliated. He is humiliated. Because I would be humiliated. Like, oh my God, I keep calling you Donna. And your name is Nita. Oh, Donna. I got to play this out. I got to go with it. Listen, everybody, we're gonna come back in a second. Let's pull this together and you can go back and listen to all the other episodes and you'll be able to get caught up on this scenario. So, but on this show, we're talking about what to do when... Oh, you don't look ethnic enough. So, Mita, let's bring us back. Tighten us up, because I don't even know where we are on the show. I can't.
Wait, I have to just say to our viewers, go back and listen to that episode. It's a gem. It is a gem. The gentleman who was convinced he met me in Singapore. I've never been to Singapore. But anyways, onward and upward. So, Dee, as we wrap up and we get to the tips, this episode is really for allies. Because here's the thing. It's not for me. When someone comes to me and says, oh, you don't look this way, you don't look that way, you don't look ethnic. Because unfortunately, oftentimes when these things happen at work, guess what? I have to smile and I have to be kind and I have to say, oh, no, actually, I identify this way, right? Because how I might handle that in a social setting is very different than at work. I don't have the privilege to actually truly express my outrage or my hurt or the harm that's been inflicted when you consistently or you just persist and you say, oh, no, you are that when you're not.
Because it's saying, oh, that's what I want you to be also. Like, that's what I want you to be. Like, oh, no, I don't want you. I want you. Because, I mean, there's so much here. And this is why I love that we do this show, my friend, because I think our conversations, well, we know, we get the feedback. Our conversations are real and true and authentic. They're educating. This social learning here is high value, right? And it's helping us all to do better, be better in the workplace and in the world, right? This is the work that we do at Diverse and Engage. Our big why is to help people better connect, communicate, mm-hmm. and respect unique differences. And so this cultural piece is so super big, and it has to continue. Like, this has no expiration date. We have to continue the work of learning about culture.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So, oof. All right. So now we're going to move into our tips. And so, what a show, Mita. Now we got to chunk this down. So why don't you kick us off with our tips?
Yeah, I'll do one and 2D, and then I'll hand it back over to you for 3. I think number one is don't put people in a box. Don't label people. Get to know them. We talked about that. Yep. Number 2, wow, D, so powerful what you said, is really about leaders needing to accept when they're wrong. And what you said, again, so beautiful, pen and paper, write it down, everyone listening. My mistake, my apologies, thank you for educating me. Thank you for educating me. D, my friend, number 3.
And number 3 is, this is about your professional development plan. It's educate yourself. So educate yourself on different cultures or various cultures, and not just culture, but different dimensions of diversity is the best way to do better. So add this to your plan, add this to your professional plan, add this to your professional development plan, and never make the mistake again or the same mistake again. And I'm going to leave the tips on browntabletalkpodcast.com.
Well, that's it, Dee. What an episode. Thank you so much. So grateful for you, our friendship. Thank you to the LinkedIn Podcast Network and to women of color and allies who joined us at our table. Please share this conversation with someone who needs to hear it today. And we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.